fact, Beckett saw right through Henry's game of studied informality, the way he avoided wearing the crown, his preference for ordinary riding clothes. Beckett knew that when Henry extended the hand of friendship, he was capable of following it by frosty withdrawals of affection, unpredictable explosions of carpet-biting, incendiary fury. It was this pseudo-sibling relationship that gave Beckett the confidence later on to treat the king as a virtual equal, with catastrophic results for all concerned. Time and again, he'd tell his dwindling band of followers, "Look, I know this looks bad, but trust me, I know the way this man operates." But even in the early days, beneath the jesting, there was, if Thomas looked for it, a kind of ominous tension. When, for example, the king and the chancellor rode through London, Henry pointed to the countless destitute, and eyeing Thomas's gorgeous scarlet and grey miniver-edged cloak, let it be known how charitable it would be to clothe the poor man's nakedness. "Well, yes," said Beckett, "you should attend to it right away." "Oh, no, 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 you should have the credit," insisted the king, pulling at Beckett's cape. An undignified tug of war then followed, with both men trying to pull the capes off each other. At last, the Chancellor had no alternative but to allow the king to overcome him and give his cape to the poor man.